May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I'm going to share something with you that just fits Christianity, period. But you have to understand that healing ministry is just part of Christianity, period. It's just part of the brown bag, normal life that Jesus lives. And what we're after, what we're always after, and healing ministry is a consequence, is an experience of, an expression of the fullness of Christ from you personally and from the congregations. And and it's just part of the fullness of Christ. It's not the most only thing he does. It's not the most important thing that he does. It's just one of the things that he does. And it's just normal brown bag Christianity. Like I said, this conference is about healing for dummies. Because if you can lower it down from that ethereal kind of out there somewhere, only a select few, it's just what Jesus does. It's just a normal life that he lives. And I'm discovering that more and more and more. And therefore, if it doesn't take super faith, it's the same faith that brought you into the kingdom. It's just the measure of faith God's given you. It's the same faith that releases his life in you and through you and in this arena too. But there's a place in Hebrews chapter 11 that I've just studied over the years and looked at and spoken from. And if you remember about Abraham and Sarah, Abraham was 75 years old, and Sarah was 65 years old, and she had been barren all those years. When God gave them the promise in Genesis 12 that they would give birth to the one who eventually the offspring would be the Messiah, that all the nations would be blessed through his seed, the Abrahamic covenant. But it was a 25-year period before that actually came to pass. And in the process, there's a whole lot of human self-effort to try to help God make this thing work. Because he was 75 years old, and she had been barren, so the odds were against them in the natural. So they produced they tried to offer the nephew Ishmael, they produced Esau, there's all kinds of stuff. And if you read through their story, as they're struggling to believe, finally, when he's like 100 years old and she's 90, in Genesis chapter 17, he falls on his face and laughs at God when God makes it really clear to him, I mean through your body and her body. I don't really need your help. It's going to be supernatural, Abraham. I'm going to do it. Your weakness and her weakness aren't an issue for me. And then in chapter 18, she laughs at God and of course, God said, we're going to name the child, God laughs. Because faith always results in God getting the last laugh. And the thing that changed everything in Genesis 18, it says, when the Lord said to them, is anything too difficult for me? And at some point after 25 years, they realized it was him. It was going to be all grace. It was going to be all him. And that's why when you read in Romans chapter 4, it says that Abraham believed, he didn't waver in unbelief, he grew strong, giving glory to God. And when you read the story, you go, you're kidding me. All he did was waver in unbelief for 25 years. But what it says there is Abraham came to a place where he called that which is not as though it was, and that he entered into the reality. When he began to walk in faith when he was about 100 years old. Regardless of what you're taught, go back and read that scripture. It's not God saying that they had never wavered in unbelief because he's a God of grace for 25 years. They made a mess of it for 25 years. And we're still suffering the consequences of Esau. Right? But after 25 years, when they heard God say, is anything difficult for me? It's then that Abraham believed, and it's from that point forward for the next year, he didn't waver in unbelief. But respected the promises of God, he grew strong in faith by giving glory to God because he had come to the place where he was persuaded that God was able to do that which he had promised. But this Hebrews 11:11, I love this particular story because it's about Sarah. And it starts off in verse 11 and says, by faith. So this is about faith. This whole chapter is about faith. By faith, even Sarah. That's not like the kindest thing to say. You know what I'm saying? It's like saying, even Chuck passed algebra or whatever, which I never did. I had to take basic math because I didn't care anything about algebra. Even Sarah, the one who laughed at God, but Abraham laughed too. He fell on his face and laughed at God. But even Sarah, so this is a word for all of us, even you, no matter how weak you've been in your faith, no matter how many times you've struggled, no matter how many times, like Peter, you've sunk because of unbelief, he still walked on water. And when you think about the disciples, other than Judas, Peter is the biggest joke because he's cutting ears off, he's doing this, but he's also the only one who ever walked on water, right? And so this is a word for even you and even me. Even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Considered him faithful. That he was faithful. About Abraham, it says, he was persuaded that God was able. It wasn't about their faith, or wasn't about their ability, or any kind of creative ingenuity they might create and offer an Ishmael or Esau. It says, even Sarah, by faith even Sarah, received ability to conceive beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. I've taught this for years and years, and I've taught it like this, is that Sarah had no ability. She had to receive it. But it sounded like I'm saying there was no ability there at all, but when she had faith, the ability came to her. But that's not true. You see, what God wants out of you, he's already put into you. What God requires of you, grace has already been deposited in you. The example that we used over the years is, it's a great principle. It's one of the In the Beginnings, in the beginning book. It's in the beginning for lots of things. Everything's built on Genesis. God has a sequence. God never requires anything of you that he's not already placed at your disposal, with you or in you, his provision. You with me? When God created mankind, he didn't create them with lungs and then say, now hold your breath for a few days because we're going to get to the air pretty soon. He created provision first, then created them with their need for air. You see, our capacity is always measured by a God-given ability. Not your ability or my ability. Our capacity is measured by his ability, which has already been deposited in us. So let's just quote that verse again. 2 Corinthians 9:8, the way it was originally written. And God of limitless ability abounded, all past tense, all grace, whatever category you're dealing with, all grace, that you, always having all sufficiency, that's present tense, in everything, that covers pretty much everything, may live in abundance in every good deed. So whatever God's required of you, if he's already abounded you more than enough, above and beyond, all grace, the all grace is already, that particular grace is already there, right? In the person of Jesus. So I want to show you this interesting thing. By faith, even Sarah received ability. The word received here is an interesting word because its first and primary root meaning, Father Craig, is to take, is to seize. And in doing that, you've received it. You can't seize something you don't have. You can't take something you don't have. The moment 25 years earlier that God gave them the word, they were already deposited with the ability to get pregnant. He was just waiting for them to take what they already had by faith so that that ability could then be manifested into their experience. You hear me? That's so important difference. They didn't get the ability. She didn't get the ability. when she believed, she appropriated the ability that had been waiting 25 years for her and for him to believe. What caused them to believe was they heard, is anything too difficult for God? And they quit practicing self-centeredness. And like the scripture Craig quoted from 2 Corinthians 3:5, not that you're adequate of yourselves to think anything is coming from yourselves, but your adequacy is from God, the very next verse, and you have been made adequate. From what? His adequacy. All grace. This is true for every step of the Christian life. You don't pray God to give you strength to overcome this sin. That grace is already in you. You take it. In the old days, they would say, and what we take, he undertakes. A better way for us to say it is whatever you take by faith, he takes over. That's just the way it works. But the ability, the grace, the anointing, which is part of grace, right? You have been blessed with every. Does anointing come under the word every? You have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Have been, because you're in Christ. What he's waiting for us to do is just to receive by taking the ability. And where that faith comes from, it says, when she stopped looking at herself and she started considering him who was faithful, who was promised. Faith is all about resting in his ability. Jesus, thou hast offered rest. Oh, give it then to me. The rest of ceasing from myself to find my all in thee. And all that he is in you. She received ability that she had been carrying for 25 years. She just finally took it when she realized it was all about his ability. Not her ability to keep the promise, his ability who had promised. Amen? Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.